Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good evening, Northern California. How are we doing? I don't know what the date is. I think it's, what is it? June 22nd, Wednesday, June 22nd. This is Nigel, and my co-pilot James is on vacation in Stockton or Fresno or something somewhere. I'm not quite sure what he's doing, but he's on vacation. But I have two really good friends here with me, and we're going to go full send conspiracy theory here. But we're going to have some some practicality to it, right? So I have my good friend Colin. Say hi, Colin.
Hi.
Hey, and I got my good friend Brian.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to Reading. I know we have a lot of newbies listening, and if you are listening, it's 105 today, and the next cooling trend will probably be in November. So you better get used to this this weather. Welcome to summer. Okay, so I have a question for you, for those of you listening. And 6 months ago, I wouldn't have known the answer to this question, and I wouldn't even know that there would have been a difference. But these are interesting times we're living in, and so some of us are diving deep into what's going on in the world. So I'm going to ask you a question to all of you who are listening, and it's not really fair because my friends here already know the answer. But are you a United States citizen, or are you an American? One of the two. Chances are your gut reaction says, well, I'm American. But there's a little bit of a hesitation there because, you know, you've been taught that you're a United States citizen. And you've probably checked 100 boxes or thousands of boxes that says United States citizen. So I'm going to ask the question again. What is your legal status? Is your legal status United States citizen, or is your legal status American? And what I'm finding out, and I didn't know that there even was a difference between the two, or that there was such a thing, but what I'm finding out is that most people here don't know that there is such a legal status as American, and specifically American state national, right? That's a thing. And when you dive deep into what's going on, because we are professional conspiracy theorists, right, Brian?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been around the block a
few times. Had a few conversations, right? And so one of the things that we've been going over is decoding certain movies like Alice in Wonderland, The Wizard of Oz, and The Matrix.
The Matrix, right?
The Matrix is a great, great one.
Back to the Future.
But what I specifically like this time around about The Matrix is that, you know, we're taught in the Bible, which is true, that there's lots of parables, right? Parables are spoken. Parables meaning we tell a story and the truth is hidden in there somewhere, and when you're ready to find it, the truth will find you, or you will find the truth, one or the other. And so what we're finding out is a lot of these movies that we all know that there's something going on, something
and
like
love.
The Matrix. Huh?
And love.
Yeah, and love. The Matrix. The Matrix is a good one, I think.
It's important, that last part, to love them, because the reason they resonate so much with us is because we are subconsciously recognizing the truth within those in those movies. Dr. Jordan Peterson would call them archetypes. And they're archetypal stories that tell us the truth, but we don't really see it, but we know there's a deeper meaning in the movies, and that's why they are such great films.
Fine. You're being a lot more articulate about it than I am. But for me, there are certain movies who hit home more than others, and The Matrix is one, because when I started out watching it, as you know, as whenever it came out, like 200 years ago, I was one of those that loved the action but didn't really understand the dialogue. And as you get older, all of a sudden it switches, right? And so just the other day, where we are now is I flipped through all three of them, three Matrix movies, but skipped over the action parts and got into the dialogue because there's so much in the dialogue, right?
Subtitles for the win.
Yeah, well, you know, I wanted to get to the dialogue. But one of the reasons that why I want to bring up, are you a United States citizen or are you an American? And I think the reason why it hits home a little bit is because even in the Matrix, he's living two lives, right? He has two lives. Neo. Remember that altercation with Mr. Smith, right?
Agent Smith.
Mm-hmm. Agent Smith. When he gets caught and he gets put in the room, and Agent Smith says, "Okay, Mr. Anderson, I see a man sitting before me who has two lives." Right? One, two lives. Your first life is a man named Thomas Anderson. In this life, you have a social security number. You pay your taxes. And you work as a computer programmer for a software development company. But your second life, as a man named Neo. Neo has committed almost every computer crime in the book. Only one of these lives has a future. Which life is that going to be? So, why are you laughing? Because it hits home at this point?
Yeah, it hits home.
Now you see it, right? So, it kind of plays in with, are you a United States citizen or are you an American, right? Because there's two lives there. And what most Americans don't realize is that when you were born, your natural birth status was American state national. That was your actual status, right? So where were you guys born? California?
California and Sacramento.
Yes.
California.
Specifically, the states naturally born on the land and soil of an American state.
That's right. So because America is a quote-unquote republic, even though we haven't had a republic since 1871, right?
Pretty much.
Because it's a republic, every state is its own country. You probably know that. And because each state is its own country, if you were born in, let's say, California, technically you are a Californian. Just like if you were born in France, you're Frenchman, right? If you were born in English, you're in England, you're an Englishman. And if you were born in California, you're Californian. But you have no idea that your natural birth status is American state national. And then all of a sudden, a few days later, something happens, right? And a signature is placed on your birth certificate. And this is where people's cognitive dissonance kind of kicks in, because we've all heard something about your birth certificate. Like, what's going on with the birth certificate?
If you have yours, grab it now.
Good idea. Right.
Yes, if you have your birth certificate handy, and you want to see something that's going to kind of freak you out,
follow along.
Follow
and watch
along.
The bouncing ball.
So even in our family, when I pointed this out, they were like, "No, that's not true. That's not true." And then you see it in fine print, and you're like, oh.
The devil is in the detail.
That's right. So anyway, so here I have a County of Shasta birth certificate from not too long ago. So it's local. And a few things. Number one, a certificate by nature is it's an article in commerce, right? Just like your a gift certificate, a certificate of title to your car. A certificate, by definition, takes place in commerce, right? Right here where...
Marriage certificate.
Marriage certificate. Fishing certificate.
License certificate.
That's right. So right here in your birth certificate, where the mother signs, and it says relationship child-mother, but then it says... parent or other informant signature. And it's that key word, that little word there, informant. Bowman, what's an informant?
Someone who gives someone up. If you think about it as in a police movies, it's the informant. They're the one snitching on other people doing something wrong. In this case, it's just they're using the base definition where it means simply to give something up. In their case, it's information. In this case, it's your body.
That's right. Well, there's a lot to that, right? So right there on your birth certificate, if you don't believe me, it says it right there, parent or other informant. And if you're freaking out right now because you're seeing it, and you're seeing it a little later, so you should. And this is where most people just, like, shut off because they don't want to hear about it, right?
Another point I noticed is that it's not on the father's signature, because a father is always the presumed father, especially in the state of California. Instead, they can only really get the true signature from the mother, because she literally delivered you. And that's why they need witnesses, the doctors and the nurses or doc tenders. But we'll get to that.
Well, that's for round three, the doc tenders. But right there, it says informant. So as a parent, you are literally... you're signing over title, right, to the state. But not only that, and this is actually a Shasta County birth certificate, right there at the very bottom, and this is where you'll freak out part two, it says right there, what does it say? Pacific Banknote Company. My gosh, why does it say Pacific Banknote Company on the bottom of my birth certificate? And didn't you say Colin, didn't you say you had a friend who checked it out and then started freaking out?
Brian did.
Oh, that was my friend in Arizona. Yeah. I was telling him about this, walking him through the paces, and he freaked out at informant right away. And then I said, oh, it gets better. Take a picture near the seal on the lower left and zoom in on that. And he freaked out a second time. And now he can't get enough of this information. So he's going to be another source of research pretty soon. Join our little group.
So right there at this signature, so you just lost your status as an American state national, right? This one signature. Now, legally, it is fraud, right? So fraud was committed because you had no idea what you were signing. You just said, because nowadays, if you don't sign the birth certificate, right, they call CPS.
Right.
Right. And you can't even leave the hospital if you don't sign the birth certificate. But for all intents and purposes, the moment this birth certificate was signed, you went from being an American to a United States citizen. And as an American state national, your birthright, all of the common law attributes of America apply to you. Your Constitution, your Declaration of Independence, the Bible is considered part of American law. It's not necessarily intended as a religious document as it is law and government, right? So at this point, you actually became a commercial vessel, shall we say, right? And you became that man. Well, that person in the matrix, right?
Well, we can't use person either because there's all. I know. There are also words with
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. No. You did become that person in the matrix.
All right, fair point.
Right.
Yeah, but before then.
You were
a man or living soul.
You were a living soul, and you were either a living man or a living woman, right? Yeah. And so one of the things that we're finding out so much in this whole segment. By the way, are we over? With our?
We are not. It's 6:18. So.
Okay.
Yeah, we're cool.
Cool. Just checking because I'm on a roll here. We're on a roll.
No, I love it.
So we found out that we've totally been misled. And as you pointed out, we've been misled in our language, like big time.
Oh, yeah. Before you get back into the language, I also wanted to mention that notice the feel of your birth certificate for those of you who have a physical copy in your hand. First of all, it's a copy of your birth certificate. It is not actually the literal birth instruction. I forget what they call it. But the paper that it's written on is bond paper. You know how you see in movies? I like to use, what is that? The cop movie. Beverly Hills Cop. Beverly Hills Cop 2, where his friend is beaten up for those bearer bonds. When Mikey steals those bearer bonds. Those bearer bonds, this is the same paper that the bearer bonds are written on. This is bond paper. They are literally bonding you as a slave.
Well, I wasn't going to get to the S word until later.
Well.
Because, you know, when we do think of that word, when we think of the slavery word, obviously, you know, certain images come to mind. But we don't think of the legal definition of a slave.
Well, the basic fundamental definition of a slave is someone who tells you what you can and cannot do. And that is what we call our government. Our government tells you what you can and cannot do because you have a birth certificate. Once you are bonded, they feel they have the right to tell you, a living man or woman, what to do. And I think most of us, anybody listening to this probably, would know that they have their own God-given rights to say and do and act as they feel, so long as they're not harming other people, live and let live, that kind of concept.
Yes. But in addition to that, all kinds of things happen with this one little signature. Number one, you become a dead person. Well, you become a dead entity, right? Because
specifically an entity lost at sea. You are born through the birth canal.
That's right.
And the U.S. Navy has put the water line on a mountain out in California. So we're all underwater.
Colorado.
Thank you. In Colorado.
What you got?
So that we're all underwater.
Well, so didn't they start the birth certificates in, was it 1946? Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I'm not quite sure. In the 1930s, there was a little statement made by Mr. Edward Mandel House, who was President Woodrow Wilson's chief of staff. And he's the one who actually mentioned, if you want to go back in history, very soon every American will be required to register their biological property in a national system designed to keep track of the people, and that will operate under the ancient system of pledging. Right, I can go on and on and on, but this is a great thing to read because what do they say in the Matrix too? What are you looking at? You want to share there?
Yeah. Oh, we have a
From Kathy.
We hear that she reports that the chat is not working right now, so she wants to ask about birth abroad nationalization papers.
Born abroad.
Right. As best we know so far is that as long as you've lived in America or any state here for more than 7 years, then you can declare your status as an American state national. It's a little above the scope of this
particular
today's event.
Well, so where we're going with this show is that the three of us here, and actually there's a little bit of a bigger group of us, who have been diving into this over the last couple months, and even though the actual practicalities of changing your status, because millions of Americans are waking up and they are restoring their status, right? They are restoring their status to America State National. To actually go through the process takes what? Couple hours to do the paperwork, but for people to figure out why they're doing it and to get over that cognitive dissonance takes weeks and months to figure this out, because it literally is like even Neo, in the Matrix he didn't have a good time after he took that red pill, right? I mean, there was some struggle involved and some mild discomfort.
Well, not everyone's fit to govern themselves.
Well, when you have to replace everything you were taught with all new information, because pretty much everything we've been taught is a lie. So that's
part of it. Or the very least a verbal manipulation.
Huge.
Yeah.
Movies.
TV. So
a moment of Ashley.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nigel, you said pledge, because the state citizen is one who undertakes obligations of self-governance. They pledge their oath to the state. And Matthew 5:37 is Jesus speaking, saying, all you need to say is simply yes or no. Beyond this comes from the evil one.
Yep.
Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Do not pledge. Do not swear. Do not do any of that. Just your yes be yes, your no's be no.
That's right. But in our system, that unfortunately we have to deal with until the ceiling cracks.
Right.
Right. So the status that we actually have two statuses that we can pick from. Actually, the main one is American State National. And then there is an American State citizen, right? A state citizen. So that is for an American State National who wants to serve. And they then become a citizen. Because the word citizen, people aren't going to like this either. Do we tell them now?
Brace yourselves.
Yes.
Let's do it.
So the word citizen, even the word citizen, from the Roman roots is, city is municipal, and zen is servant. You're actually a municipal servant. And so sometimes when we talk to people, say, oh, this is just the whole sovereign citizenship thing. It's like, no, well, you can't have both. There's no such thing as a sovereign citizen. Your natural, your spiritual birthright or your spiritual birth status is, of course, sovereign, right? Every man and woman born on this plane, their natural birth status is sovereign, right? So that's built into you, but we voluntarily gave it up. But here in America, you actually get to pick your status. And most Americans aren't aware that you get to pick your status. You actually get that choice. Let's see here. United States Code, right? Remember this? Where are we? U.S. Code, Title 8, Chapter 12, 1101, 21. The term national means a person owing permanent allegiance to a state. Okay. And I have here, to give you an example of how this works, as an American, not as a citizen, as a citizen, you are, in fact, registered and bonded, right? And you have all these numbers associated with your status, your birth certificate, your social security number, your driver's license number, all the various licenses you have.
And every time you check the wrong box.
Yes. And every time you check the wrong box, but what I'm finding out, and I'm sure you guys are going down this rabbit hole too, every time you check any box, like even if you check a box as Caucasian or Latino or African-American or Black, whatever it is, anytime you check a box that gives you any other kind of identification besides natural-born man or natural-born woman, you are re-registering yourself, which is kind of freaky. Right? Because that's not who you are. Your identity may be tied up to that.
And this goes back to his first question at the opening of this today's talk, where you can only be one, American or a state citizen.
That's right. Well, you're a municipal citizen.
Well,
of D.C.
Depends on which one you want to pick. And again, it's always what you want to pick.
That's right. You get to pick. In America, when you're born, you automatically start ticking boxes saying United States citizen, United States citizen. But they've tricked you.
Yeah, they trick you into selecting the slavery position instead of the self-governance position.
That's right. And if you want to dig into that, there's proof for that. You're not going to like this. Well, we already know, right? But even... So, when you are a United States citizen, you legally reside, and this is what people start checking out because they kind of hold it. When you are a United States citizen, your legal residence is D.C., District of Columbia. Right? And let's see here. I'm going to get back. We're going to leave in a little bit, but I'm going to come up with some dates for you. But even the zip code system, I believe that started in the 1960s, the first zip code system. They came up with that to simplify matters, but it also originates from D.C. And every time you actually write your address with the full-blown zip, what year was it?
63.
You're actually declaring that you live in D.C., it's kind of a trippy thing. And this is where Neo starts to say, well, you know, give me my rights and give me my phone call. He says, give me my phone call, right? And Agent Smith says, what good is a phone call if you can't speak?
Yeah.
You know? So anyway, are you a United States citizen or are you an American? So when we get back, I think we have one more minute. We have one more minute? One more minute. We're actually going to get into, if you want to, how you can restore your status to American state national and become an American. One of the things that's happened here locally for me that spurred this interest too is the whole election thing, because this whole election thing was a mess, right? And
what do you mean? It's the most fair and free election ever.
I know. Well, you know, they say, citizens vote for their rulers,
mm-hmm.
and Americans get to elect their electives. So yes. There we go. All right, thank you very much. We will be right back.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
And we're back. Good evening. This is Nigel and not James. I have my good buddies Brian and Colin here with me.
Hey, good buddy.
And and we're having some fun here going over the difference between American.
Minor aside, I just want to say powder coating, if you guys can powder coat your bikes, it's amazing. Have it all disassembled, send it to them, they'll powder coat all the stuff. It's amazing. Highly recommend.
Yeah, I don't have a bike.
It's just a personal recommendation. I love powder coating. It's awesome.
Can they
get it, you can get any kind of coat you want, and then have them put a clear coat over it if it's a bumpy texture.
Yeah, well, he was paying attention to the commercial during the break. That's why powder coating.
Yeah.
But
it's amazing.
I mean, you know, we have a cat, but... speaking of elections, I wanted to get this out here because we're in the middle of a strange, definitely a strange election season all across the country, all across the state, including here. We're just coming to the tail end of our local elections, the countywide elections. And this Friday, we're actually going to have a special guest coming to Reading, Captain Seth Keschel. He's going to... be coming in and sharing his expertise on the on his he was part of the whole Trump 2020 piece, and he has an expert team of election integrity specialists. A couple of our local peeps reach out to him, and he's coming this Friday, July 1st at where is he going to be?
621 Twin View Boulevard, Redding, California.
Right. Tickets are $20, and they can call, who's the lady down in red, Camille?
Camille, 530-356-9391.
That's right. It's going to be kind of fun. He's a national figure, and that should bring some interesting attention.
You can also reserve online at churchofgladtidings.com/Seth-Keschel-Redding. K-E-S-H-E-L.
Brian, you have a face for radio, mate. You
yeah,
should
play
you
around.
You should get into this. Okay, so are you a United States citizen or are you an American state national? And so we got into the whole birth certificate piece where you were basically signed over as property and you started ticking boxes that said United States citizen. And so your passport probably says United States citizen. little private joke there, guys, on the Colts.
We can share that next time.
We'll share that next time. We're getting a lot of questions about, well, as an American state national, does that mean you don't pay taxes? Does it mean you don't do this? And I'm finding that a lot of people are actually tied emotionally and spiritually to the state. And it's really hard for people to let go.
Being an American state national ultimately means it's not just that you don't pay taxes. You are outside the system. When you swear an allegiance and you say, "Hey, I'm a United States citizen," then you become you're pledging your rights, your abilities, your self-governance. You're pledging that to the corporate of America, the corporation of the United States, which is no longer a nation anymore. They did away with that. What was it, 1871? Like, we didn't even last very long. When you become an American state national, you govern yourself. Then you are not beholden to the rules and regulations of some phantom corporation, and instead you govern yourself. So the short answer, yes, you don't pay taxes. You also don't pay parking fines or go to court ever, because that's all a fiction made up of the corporation that we call America.
That's right. And then people say, well, I don't believe you. But then what you got?
I was just going to add something. So as difficult as it has been to become the state of Jefferson for California splitting off, how about we all become state nationals? That is a way easier approach.
Well,
you mean that Georgia, where they were going to bring it all the way down here? New Georgia, wasn't it? New Oregon?
Well, there's been obviously a few things underway. One of the biggest ones, obviously, state of Jefferson. Right, to carve out a chunk of Northern California and a chunk
right.
of
but we just need to get our status set, and then we can actually just
that's
make,
right.
Make
well,
that
the
inter-
so the interesting thing about forming a new state, if you actually formed a new state, in order to actually take advantage of being in a new state, you'd have to be a state national of that state. Right.
Right.
If you started a new state, well, let's say you split. Some people want to split California into six pieces. Let's say you started a new state. And you maintain being a United States citizen, you'd be in the same boat.
Yes.
As
correct.
If you didn't, right? So if you want to start a new state, you go and take a full advantage of it. There's a whole bunch of hurdles, obviously, but you would still have to become a state national, right?
Right.
So that's a double hurdle, in my opinion. Why not just restore your status? Hint, hint. Restore your natural born status to American state national. And I have here, just as an example, right? I mean, once we started digging into this, there's thousands and thousands of examples, documents and examples where you can see that this is a letter, for example, from the United States Department of Travel. This is 2015, and this is to one of the governors. This is actually a governor. To the governor of North Carolina, where it was just a friendly reminder, where he says, "Dear Governor McCrory, just letting you know, as you may or may not know, there are people in your state whose status is ostensibly different than the average U.S. citizen. The average U.S. citizen.
Interesting.
And are considered foreign nationals or American nationals with certain safeguards and protections under the law. Our primary concern is that their travel rights in your states are not infringed, meaning as an American state national, you don't need a driver's license, right? You don't register. You don't need a license to travel. And you get tricked into this, and we all get tricked into this.
Right? Yeah, we were all
and
duped.
So this is not a case of blaming somebody or, you know, blaming people in any community because we were all duped into this. But as an American, you have a fundamental right to travel in your private
life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Anything that infringes upon that is a violation of your God-given rights. It ultimately boils down to a form of limited diplomatic immunity. As long as anyone is not being physically harmed by you intentionally, mind, it must be an intention, then essentially they can't touch you for anything. And intent matters. Intent is the difference between, say, manslaughter and murder. And that's a very big sentence difference. So they recognize that intent is a very big deal.
That's right.
Almost
but,
the highest.
But we get tricked. We get tricked, right? Because we register our private automobile at the Department of Motor Vehicles, and a private automobile is not a motor vehicle. Right? And we get duped in putting them in the same category. I think all three of us right now are just in that coming out of the cocoon stage, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and we all did our vehicle registration this year.
Right.
Before we had our status corrected. So next year, different.
Well, the key is to is I think for enough people to wake up and restore their status to get into this place.
And even the term driver license, driver is only a commercial person operating their vehicle for some commercial venue. Either they're transporting goods for services or they're transporting people, say as an Uber or Lyft driver. Those are the only times you actually need a driver license. This is already approved by the Supreme Court, and you can stand on that right now. Even if you don't become an American state national, even if you don't do any of those things, you can still bring that law with you. Keep that in your glove compartment, and if you are ever stopped, tell them you are not driving or operating your vehicle. You are traveling in your personal property, and the Supreme Court has given you full permission to do that without registering. So you can drive around without plates right now. It's just...
not a smart thing to do.
Yeah,
it, just do your research first. Make sure you look up all these things and you have those ready to go and you know the right words to say. If you say you are driving your vehicle, you are burned. So make sure you practice this in front of a mirror. Work it like it's magic, like it matters. Or don't do it and then, you know, this is why we come with a caveat saying that, you know, not everyone can cover themselves because it requires an awful lot of research. So take everything we say and do your own research, and you'll find
out. Yeah, I guess that is the caveat, is don't believe anything we say.
Correct.
And just take this
don't trust anyone ever. Always trust, right. But confirm.
This is all for educational purposes only. We're not giving any kind of legal advice. Don't burn your driver's license or nothing like that.
When you do it right, you can do those things. But you actually can't burn it. You need to return it to them and tell them that they've violated the contract by not having free and open disclosure of what signing up for a driver license meant. But we'll get into those in later episodes.
I would suggest everybody just becoming a state national first.
That's
my opinion.
Yeah, learn that first, and then you can
do the proper paperwork you have to do to
and make sure you understand it. That's what it means to govern yourself. You must understand.
So I think one of the more important aspects of restoring one's status, especially for parents of minor children, because we're starting to deal with the whole mandate thing,
right?
Coming in school, right? And there's lots of yelling and screaming going on, saying don't mandate my kids and don't vaccinate my kids, don't put masks on my kids. But then we get down to that signature on the birth certificate again, where you actually legally signed over as an informant.
The rights to your children.
That's right. So the legal
this
ownership.
Is why it's the most important. Right. This is what woke us up the most when we realized they were coming for our children. That's why CPS can walk in and take your children for any made-up, trumped-up excuse they want. This is why. Because you were signed over, and the city or the state or whatever, they were just allowing you the courtesy of raising their property, their biological property.
Yes.
It says it right in the instructions.
So after you go through the motions, as a parent, this is very important. Once you restore your status, you can then, and you should then, file this. It's a rescinding of informant signature on birth record. You actually legally rescind your signature as an informant. And then you go through the process of actually legally owning your child, right?
And better than the state owning it.
That's right. And then once you do it correctly and you have actually rescinded your birth certificate and you have your status corrected and you legally own your child, then you can actually legally go into any of the school districts and show them your, I know it sounds weird, but your proof of ownership, right? And we kind of discussed this.
At that moment, if you take your child to a public school, which we don't recommend anyway, you always homeschool your children, but if you can't figure it out, there are lots of online places I highly recommend doing a quick search. You can find a way to make it happen. But if you can't and you send your child, at least with this paperwork, you can walk in there on day one and you say, I own my child, and if you do anything without my consent, I am suing each individual person.
So why don't we start a state national school?
I think that's coming.
Not a bad idea.
In America, state national school?
Yes.
So let's talk about how we actually came across this and what we're doing to restore our status, to correct our status. You want to talk about David? David Strait?
David Strait.
So David, there's quite a few. There's an organization out of Texas that's building an online presence, which is massive. There's some more in Ohio, and there's a guy. He lives in Bend, Oregon. Actually, his name is David Strait, and you can look him up. He has a great series. The one from Utah and straight out of Babylon, where he's actually taking 3 days. We are doing some people a disservice by trying to chat about this in 1 hour. But David Strait takes 3 days to walk people through how they got into trouble in the first place without knowing it. Right?
And most importantly, how to get out of it.
But so I think we've all watched those videos. I know I've watched them like 15 times. And we started the process, started our own paperwork now.
And as soon as David has an available slot, we will bring him to Reading.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he's a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. All of his seminars and workshops are all sold out wherever he goes. What I do like about him is that he's keeping them small. So there's like 160 to 200 people max, so that it doesn't become a...
That's small.
Massive crowd. Well, you know, well, they're all sold out the moment he, you know, instead of doing it for 2,000, right? which I think would be kind of crazy. But from what I understand, every single one that goes, they immediately fill out their paperwork and start the process.
Well, but part of the reason he does them small is because he wants people to educate people and then them learn so they can teach others.
Right.
So also, it empowers us to learn and try to teach others what we learned.
And again, it goes back to self-governance. That's the whole point of this. You need to know what's going on. You need to do your own research, follow the existing laws so that you can step out of them and file your paperwork correctly. Also, for reference, when he does come here, any government employee does have a free ticket. He states that clearly on his website.
Yep. But there are some practicalities that come along with this, right? So the fact that your birth certificate is on bond paper, mm-hmm. right? And that you are actually bonded and traded. One of the things that we don't often think about is why this is on bond paper, right? So your birth certificate in and of itself has a starting value of, what is it, $2 million?
It's $2 million for those born, what is it, after 86, I think it is. I'll check the numbers in a moment.
Yeah. So this birth certificate right out of the gate, the reason why it is on bond paper, on Pacific Banknote company paper, is that it starts out with a value of $2 million. And as you go on, you may have heard of the concept of your straw man, right? That everybody has a straw man. Meet your straw man. And
it's like the Wizard of Oz.
The Wizard of Oz, right? I never knew that.
Weird.
Right?
Oh, that's another wonderful.
They try to tell you with the Scarecrow, right? The Man of Straw.
She's walking on the yellow brick road, which is gold. The slippers were originally silver in the book. They're silver. But it didn't look that keen on the big screen, so they had infinite silver screen. It didn't look as good on the silver screen, so they made them ruby so they would pop out.
Right.
But the original story is with silver slippers, and it's the whole point is that we use gold and silver to reach the Promised Land, which is the Emerald City, and that's where all wealth and knowledge is contained.
But unfortunately, we're more like lions, the cowardly lions. Yes. Like we can kind of see what's going on, but we don't have the courage to stand up and rectify the situation. But one of the other areas where we've all been duped, because I personally I never bought into the left versus right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Democrats, Republicans, the whole nine yards.
It's all a facade.
It is. But one of the things that we've been duped in is this whole concept of sanctuary cities and all these quote-unquote immigrants coming to the border. And people like to think that, well, they're just coming here to because it's because they become a voter base. Mm-hmm. But as we found out, no, each one of them is carrying a birth certificate.
Worth
right?
a lot of money.
And each birth certificate has a starting value of about $2 million, right? And some of the older people, you know, in their 20s and 30s, their birth certificates are worth, you know, what, $5 to $10 million. And as we've been learning, this is how they fund the government, right? This is how they do it.
And they'll get it from you one way or another. Either you have a life of crime, so to speak, and it's just their policy officers. It's the wordplay that they love. They're policy officers, and you violated the corporation's policy by parking in the wrong spot, for example. And so when they send you to court, they file charges against you, and those charges are paid through the money in the account. It's essentially a trust account, and they are stealing money from that, and they're going to get it one way or the other. Either they'll send you to court with every tiny infraction they can squeeze a nickel and dime you that they can, or they'll just wait for you to die and sell off your estate. You know, estate sales, they do that all the time. You guys hear about it. Estate sales are such a big deal.
So now you're hitting on the difference, one of the key differences between a United States citizen and an American. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we're finding out is that we've actually never lived in a republic. Right, mm-hmm. we have a flag and national anthem that states for the republic for which it stands, but we actually don't have any frame of reference of what it looks like to live in a republic. Mm-hmm. But one of the aspects of the republic, of a republic, number one, common law, but also commonwealth, right? Mm-hmm. And the one thing that that we have no concept of is that in a republic the people have no debt.
Correct.
You don't have debt, right?
You mentioned flag. I would like everybody to look up the peace flag, the civil flag of peace, and note how very different that is from the wartime flag that we fly all the time with the horizontal stripes. The civil flag has vertical stripes and blue stars on a white background. Look it up.
Yeah, where are we at? We started going down that path.
It's only flown in our nation for 3 years, and I suppose the more intuitive of you would know which 3 years those were and which president we had. Because, you know, peace in the Middle East, guess who did all that?
Who?
President Trump.
There you go.
That was the only time we had flown the flag of peace was during President Trump's 3 years.
That's awesome. Okay,
well,
look.
For 3 years. He didn't have it the first year because he had to get all that peace done. But then once he had that, we had 3 years of peace. Every other year, we've been at war.
So we have a few minutes left. So let's get down to the practicalities of it. And so one of the things I would like to bring up is you know, during President Trump's term, everything was so hectic. It was a crazy, crazy time. But now we live in a time where if you actually took the time, you can go back and look at some of the things he actually did. It doesn't matter whether you like him or not, Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter, but just some of the practical things that he did. And as he liked to mention, he actually restored the republic to the best of his ability, and now it's your turn, right? And so I gave you that thing.
The memorandum.
Yep. So one of the first things he did when he got into office is he withdrew the United States from the Trans-Pacific
Partnership
Agreement.
And that was on January 23rd, 2017, right. Originally.
As soon as he got into office, he withdrew us from that. And if you remember, one of the very last things he did the last day in quote-unquote office of the corporation, he actually signed the border wall. He went down to Texas, remember? Mm-hmm. And he went down to Texas and he signed the border wall. Those two things, those two bookends effectively ended all the ratifications of the United States Constitution, going back until 1871. So, lawfully now...
That's just before the 13th Amendment was supposedly ratified.
So, the law of the land right now is your original Constitution. And if you are interested in learning more about the difference between the United States citizen and American state national and restoring your status, I'm sure you have a million questions, even if there's only a few of you. The three of us will actually be at Brew, our weekly get-together.
Brew Craft Coffee.
We'll be at Brew Craft Coffee this Saturday.
So I'm going to get the address real quick, 1320 Yuba Street, site 105, Redding, California.
Right, it's right there on the corner of, was it Pine and Yuba?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we like to meet. So we'll be there on Saturday morning, 9:30. And I think there's already going to be a group of people there wanting to join us and figure things out. So if you're listening and you're even remotely interested in, the difference between a United States citizen and American state national, and maybe even talking about restoring your status and what that looks like and the ramifications involved, we'll be there.
Remember, federal agents listening, if you show up, we will ask you, and you will have, and your standard requirement is to admit that you are a federal agent. So we welcome one, we welcome all. You're welcome to come, but you'll have to leave your badge in your car.
Yep. And the handcuffs.
And gun.
You know, well, gents, it's been fun having you along. We have two more minutes left here. Brian, how did you actually stumble upon this, and what has it done for you personally, if anything?
Well, I guess I stumbled across it. Anybody in the truth movement, you'll eventually stumble across these things. Not everybody can look at it, can dig into the truth of every issue, like say the pyramids, for example. They're all over the world, but I mean, who has the opportunity to research every single bit of truth? It's difficult. So instead, I aimed to focus on the most important ones, the ones that were the big ones, you know, that made an impact in my life. And I think becoming a sovereign person again, no person. See, again,
can't say the word person.
Our language is so messed up. It's part of the indoctrination, guys. You know, we're trying to get through it all. All right, so, and I like this the most.
Well, because it's practical.
Because it's more than just practical. It removes you from the tyranny of the government. And we all know government. The word breaks down into government. Ment is mental for mind. Govern means to control, so it's mind control by definition. So, I have looked around and stumbled across a bit of information and. Cross-referenced, as you dig up to anything, you know, truth always leads to truth. All roads lead to Rome. All roads eventually lead to truth. And this one is the most important. So
It's funny how all roads do lead to Rome.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Even now, if it's kind of morbid when you think about it, but even as a United States citizen, all roads lead to Rome. Right?
The Vatican.
Well, people.
We'll get to more of that this Saturday.
Yeah, we'll get into that Saturday. Well, we have one more minute, but you know, people say, "Well, the crown, right?" So the crown. People think that the crown is the queen.
Mm-hmm.
The crown is actually the Vatican,
mm-hmm.
and the monarchy is the queen. And you know, she's the one that collects the money.
And the money they're collecting and how they're collecting it is through their Bar Association members, which stands for British Association Registry, B-A-R. Therefore, anybody who's a member of the Bar is literally working for the Crown to defraud us out of our commonwealth.
And there you have it.
Again, more Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. thank you very much, guys. Colin, thank you. Are you good?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good.
So anybody listening want to jump in on this Saturday morning, 9:30 at Brew? It's kind of funny what happens after a couple of cups of caffeine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next week.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.